Okay, so we were talking about the size of a baguette for Tzitzis, and we noted that the majority of view is that the definition of the baguette, as the Gemara presents it, is the d'oraisa. Right, that's the biblical law. And the exact question of the parameters are interesting. The Gemara presents two different elements of the definition. What are they?
Size and quality.
No. In the Gemara, for size.
For size, it's the
adult child.
The child.
Child on a regular basis and adult on a non-regular basis. The question is how those interact. So we saw that the Rambam, Smag, Tur, Nemukei Yosef, they all seem to think that basically the real shear is the size that a katan will wear, the divide and what type of katan we're talking about. It seems to me that the issue is, we need this to be, objectively speaking, a beged. How do you do that? Well, so one way is to say, the way the Rambam seems to do it, if a child would go out by himself, unsupervised, then it's a beged. And we said maybe because then you view it as a young adult, essentially, right? If he has some independence, then his clothes are at least in the world of adult clothing, and that's what the Gemara is saying. There's really only one shear. If a young kid will wear it, the type that will go about independently, so an adult might wear it once in a while, and you see that it's in the world of adult clothing.
It's not really on the child, but it's rather at what point the first time you become an adult. Not really what a child would wear. It's the first time a child would wear.
He's not really an adult. He's a young adult.
But they're arguing at what point that is. But it's not really...
Correct. So we said that maybe what the Rambam is saying is, look, it's once someone has independence, he's a young adult, essentially. So it...
Right.
The Nemukei Yosef focuses on the busha, right? That defining clothes. Let me just get the thought out. Once I'm in the middle of a sentence, right? The busha. If the type of child who is already embarrassed by not being clothed... So his clothing count because they're a kisui, right? Maybe that's more his definition. It's a cover. Yes, Nate?
Those definitions are very subjective, right?
They're relatively around the same age.
They're relatively.
In different societies, it's different. But like in one society, say Israel, it's relatively the same.
Like, let's say me personally, I wouldn't...
No, but it's not about you. It's with the normal... Age in society, it's... First of all, there are such things as subjective shirim, right? Even if you wanted to say that. And whatever, that's what the Gemara presents.
The Torah is very...
So the Torah says 9, but it doesn't really mean... Right, so what would you say the Torah? So the Torah is a bit strange. Well, why 9? Right, why 9?
That's when they start hitting, like, puberty.
So maybe you could say beginning of puberty. So, no, the Torah probably wants more objective shirim, because that was what I said, is that... Correct. So that I said 9 is an attempt at a more objective shirim, because 9, we assume that he has reached enough of physical maturity that his active intercourse is halachically significant, right? That is an age that we find in Shas. So the Torah, I assume means... is thinking, yeah, we need someone who, objectively speaking, is an adult-ish. Or adult-ish. Yes, Nate.
So why don't we say something like Chinuch?
What is Chinuch exactly? What age is Chinuch?
Four.
No! Chinuch is the age at which they... Thank you, that was subjective. Now you're back at the same point, and you lose. Come on, the same point.
But Chinuch is more...
Yes.
Chinuch is more...
subjective? Yeah. Yes, you're right. Subjective.
No.
Yes.
Wait.
It is the exact same thing. The shear of chinuch is subjective by definition. If a child takes longer, then yes, you wait. The Gemara, the shiurim given by the Mishnah are in fact that.
So go by each and every...
I think in Kiddushin somewhere it says that the point about embarrassment that Mikiyosa talks about, it says that usually a child reaches that age when they start hitting puberty. So that's...
All these ages are probably...
I'm saying they're all very similar.
They're all similar, for sure. We saw that Maria Buav already thinks that maybe the real issue here is the gadol, or that these are two separate factors, and we dealt with that. We noted, however, that in the Mordechai, this is the Rambam quotes this, there are those who believe that this is not really the case. Look at 18. Right? We saw that there are some who deny everything we just said and say that no, everything in the Gemara, that's only either dirabanan, or it's the mitzvah d'oraisa, but not the mahadrin, whatever that means. But the real mitzvah of tzitzis is only on what, Daniel? Something which? Like, it's a garment that you wrap yourself in. So you look, now, the Rama, and they get this primarily, and this is something we'll have to come back to, from the language of the bracha, which is lihit atef, to wrap, which they are viewing as something more complete. So you look for a moment at 18. The Rama, Darke Moshe is the Rama. Do you remember this, guys?
Of course.
Yeah.
Okay, one more time. The Tur is written by?
Rav Kara.
No.
Mm-hmm.
No.
The
Rabbi Yaakov Baal HaTurim, the son of the Rush, right? Yaakov Ben Asher. There are two main commentaries for our purposes on it. The Beit Yosef writes its encyclopedic commentary by Rav Yosef Karo, and then the Ashkenazi version of that by Rav Moshe Israelis and Darkei Moshe. Then the Rav Yosef Karo takes his central conclusions from Beit Yosef and writes a truncated version of it called Shulchan Aruch, or Shulchan Aruch, as you know it, right? And the Ashkenazi Ha'arot on it, written by Rav Moshe Israelis, are known as
the Rama.
Well, that's his name. Rama means Rav Moshe Israelis. Yes. The Haggah of Rav Moshe Israelis, the Haggot, right? Or the Mapa, really. So if you look at 18, he writes, "Uvetumen Hadeshen, Kadav Hashem Aram, Levarech Litlabesh Mitzitzit, V'chein Kadav Agur, Bishmo Dumyot Dilatatek, V'aminhag Levarech Al Mitzvah Tzitzit." He said, why is it that we, on our Talit Katan, the minhag is to say, what do you say, Ashkenazim? Al Mitzvah Tzitzit. That's not what the Gemara says. The Gemara says, Litatef, and some go, name it Litlabesh.
Because you're not actually being Litatef Tzitzit.
So great. So v'tama minag nirli ki chashashu l'divrei aposkim sheyotzim v'talit katan kazeh. So the Rama says, no, I think this is a chumra, because maybe this is like the shito that you're not a yotze. You don't get the mitzvah for that.
Well, then isn't it a bracha levadala?
Ah. So v'lechel bracha l'tadev l'labesh to'az ha'vemash v'lachshav mekami mitzvah koke. And so he says, because if you said l'tadev, it would sound like you're doing being mekami mitzvah on this beged. Ragla Varchin, Hashem Yitbarach, Shanat Lan, no Mitzvah Tzitzit. Mitzvah Tzitzit is not a bracha, Birkat HaMitzvah. This is a huge Chiddush of the Rama. It's not a Birkat HaMitzvah. What is it? A Birkat HaShevach. It's praise. I'm thanking God that the Mitzvah Tzitzit exists.
What?
Oh.
No, you're not.
No, you're not.
That's what the Rama says.
But you're not. Because Asher Kiddush HaMitzvah Mitzvah Tzivanu, that he commanded us, Al Mitzvah Tzitzit.
I understand, but that's what the Rama says.
That is, but that's like the definition of...
So maybe there's two different mitzvahs. There's the mitzvah, of like tzitzis, as in the strings to remind yourself of God, and then there's a separate mitzvah of wrapping yourself in the tzitzis.
Good. So the question is, what is the Mordechai? So the question is, what is the Mordechai really mean there? Does he really mean you're not Mekayim? It's less Mahadran? I don't know. Right? It's very hard to pin down. Now, the majority of Achronim say, and even the Rama says, this is only their Choshesh 4, because maybe you could construe it. Meikar Adin, as we've seen, is this Shita true? No, it's against all the Rishonim. Meikar Adin, you don't need to be wrapped in it. What do you need to do? Wear something that is defined in a beged because someone could wrap himself in it, meaning the katan. And that's the simplest straw of the Gemara. And that you're biblically chayav in that. But the Rama says that we're machmir like that position. It's very problematic. Now there is also a little bit of an ambiguity, because it's not clear whether all these talitot ketanot that are being talked about, where people didn't really make a bracha, were kashir. It could have been that there used to be a minhag for people to wear a talis katan, which was not even this shear, and just symbolic.
That's not it. No, because originally they used to put tzitzis on.
No. I'm not talking about the Gemara. I'm talking about the minhag that Rama's talking about. And if you look at some of the earlier sources, that seems to be the case. So look at the Maharam Mintz in 16 and 17. Maharam Mintz has two tshuvot on this. He says, first of all, and now again, the Achronim note that this Chumrah of the Rama is definitely not Mekar Adin. Because Mekar Adin, we've already said, what is the definition of a beged? Whatever katan would wear. You chayv mi daraisa?
Yes.
Are you mekayim the mitzvah daraisa if you wear at least a wool? Talit katan?
Yes.
And that's what the look at Maharam Mintz. He says, Shema mina chayuv shel talit katan, have a daraita kmo gadol. Dimkein, bracha, the talit katan, the rabbanan, mamatzim with the bracha, the talit katan, shumi daraita. He said, obviously it's biblical, because not only do you make a bracha, but that if someone puts on his talit katan, he can be motzi the bracha of someone's wearing a talit gadol. He doesn't have this minhag yet of al mitzvah and stuff. So you see, he says Doraisa, and in 17 he says Ach Bazel Lek Lazuga Nid Obgim Gum. He said there is no Safek. What is this? This is a very illustrative language. What does this mean, Daniel? 17 Leka Sveka Odid Nud Odgim Gum. There is no doubt. There is not even a right. There's not a drop of it. There's no hesitation. The Mishal Avash Beged Gadol Baorach Verochav Kishir Veishal Arba Kanfot. If someone wears clothing which is big enough, front, back, neck hole, you have to make a bracha.
So is beged not defined by pants?
But he says, one second. And he says, but, and this is why in the Dark Emotion may not be properly capturing this minhag, because there's another way of explaining the minhag to say al mitzvah talit. A mitzvah tzitzit and not litat teif. And it's not like the Ramah, that you're not being mekayim the mitzvah. What is it? That you're simply not doing atifa. Right. And therefore the bracha, it could be a machlokes in the language of the bracha, meaning, if you think that the word atifa means to wrap, as we'll see, katifa yishmeilim, but we're going to do this separately.
Well,
we're going to come back to the bracha. We're going to come back. We can decide, by the way, if we do the next sugya, which I wanted to do, or we can skip around a little bit and come back. Like, I know the sugya I want to do in the next few blocks. The order in which we do it is a bit complicated because they overlap with each other. If you want, after this, we could just do the question of the bracha and the atifa, right? Do you have to? How do you actually wrap it? Do you have to do atifa to yishmeilim?
Oh, can we please do that?
We will do it. The question is, what we do next?
No, there's a question if we do it.
Or go in order. Meaning, logically, it could flow from this.
Thank you, Nate.
We'll see how many days. Anyways. So he says, why do you say it? Because he seems to say, look, you're definitely mekayim the mitzvah. You don't make the bracha of lehitatev because you're not doing atifa yishmeilim. Again, we'll have to see where this comes from. This is a machlokes, whether you need that. But obviously you need to make a bracha. Etc. Next sentence, skip a line. Beget. Because the sheer is, as we've talked about, not are you being metadev, but is it a beged? And if you're wearing it, you make a bracha, lo bosh. But he says, if you do atifa, right? So he thinks this is a local thing. If you wear it, you wear lo bosh. If you dafka, do atifa. So you say, al atifa. And on ours, we say, al mitzvah tzitzit. His argument is, why do you say al mitzvah? So he has this very interesting argument, because it used to be that people wore tzitzit. Why? Because they were wearing clothing. And their clothing were four corners, and they made a bracha. That's why I lit that teif. But nowadays, why do you even wear the beged?
Just
for the mitzvah. So the Mara Mintz says, why do you make the bracha mitzvah? Not because you're not making the mitzvah. Obviously you are. What? Because you're only doing for the mitzvah. And he thinks this whole machlokas is just a local question of how do you interpret the language and how much does the language have to reflect the bracha. We'll come back to that when we do the bracha.
So then
we're going to come back to get the bracha.
So then you'd say al mitzvah even when you put on a taskad. Because you're still doing the mitzvah.
Maybe, but then you're doing the act of litatev. You're doing the act of litatev. That's what he would say. And you're doing it for atifa, because during davening you're supposed to be nitatev. Okay. Well, atuf, whatever. Again, we'll come back to the bracha. But what we've seen is that there was another view lurking, that everything we saw was not midaraisa, or not the most chiyuv, and that really this notion that a beged is chayv is not true. It's a beged which are mit'atev in, that a gadol would cover himself, his entire body. But the majority view in poskim is that you are chayv, not just chayv, you're chayv midaraisa in what we call a talaskatan. Assuming it's the right size, which we'll get to the exact details of what the size is. Okay. So now, again, I told you I'm not going to read through everything here, but I've really given you everything Allah Almighty. So let us run through it. We're not going to read everything, but you have it here, okay? So look at Shulchan Aruch, and then we're going to come to a few more points. But let me just wrap up this section with Allah Almighty. Shir talit shechayav betzitzit. There's 19. Shitaseh ba'orach barochav roshov rubosha katan malech b'shuk levad. Do b'shuk v'nitzarach hacher l'shomro. He takes the Rambam's position. He says the talit katan that you go out with that clothing that an independent child would wear, you are chayav. And the Rambam writes v'az chayav betzitzit v'davkshol lovosho pa'amim arayv yotzei b'loshuk. As long as A kid, an adult would go out with it. Sometimes that we saw that's the Marim Chaviv who thinks you actually need both factors, which we saw. The majority of Yishanim didn't think that, but the Beit Yosef does quote the disposition of the Marim Chaviv that you need both factors, and the argument probably is you need the katan to wear it all the time for it to be defined as a beged, and you need the adult to wear it sometimes as defined as a beged gadol, an ituf gadol.
Meaning, what does that mean is that the adult wears it sometimes, that if it's too small, he wouldn't wear it.
That's what the Gemara says. That it's the type of clothing that a child would wear all the time, and it's big enough that an adult would wear it once in a while.
Meaning the adult's not...
Under extenuating circumstances.
Say,
what?
Let's say the adult's not embarrassed to wear it. Like if he had
to. If he had to, correct. Like if he had to run out for a second, he would wear it, right? You would... Again, the example I said is, would an adult go outside normally just wearing his talit katan? Probably not.
No.
But like... Would you walk out your front door if the only thing you had on was pants? Let's say pants and a talit katan. Right? If you'd walk outside with pants and a talit katan when, I don't know, you had to... The example I gave is, you know, you're sponging. Right? You just have to get the water out of the door. Yeah, you're getting the newspaper from the thing, right? You know, all the pictures that they catch of celebrities. Like when they wake up in the morning, you see that even though they know that the paparazzi is watching them... They sometimes, you know, go to their front door and pull the newspaper because it's not worth getting fully dressed, and then the paparazzi catches them. But for most people, okay, someone sees you for a second like that, big deal, you're wearing clothes. It's not what you would normally wear, but nishkeferla. Yes.
Doesn't it say somewhere that your tzitzis have to cover your orla?
No.
That's what Rabbi Shmuel David said.
No.
That's what he told me.
That's great. No. Nope. No. No such thing. Nope, absolutely not.
I'm going to have to ask him that.
That's great. But no.
Okay.
Right. The only way you would get to anything similar to that is if you come up with a position that you paskin like this shita that is rejected. That.
Ooh, she gives a brief.
Is it? Philanthropy?
Ooh. Yes.
Okay.
Ooh.
The only way you'd get to this is if you think. Guys.
Yes.
Stop.
Sorry.
The only way you would get to this is if you. Paskin, like the position that is not nefsak lahalacha, but we're only machmir for, which you need something which just covers your whole body. And then you define your whole body as something that you need to cover your, right, the top of your body and your erva. But, right? But that's no, it's not the erva, first of all. That's obviously wrong. I know what you meant. But pashtas, have we, so far, in halacha, is there any reason to believe that what you just said is true? No. Not at all.
Okay, good. It doesn't.
Okay. There is a...
How does this translate to mesh? Like,
we aren't there yet. Okay, so look at the Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham quotes his Maran Mintz, and he notes that, and this is where I get this notion, that the minhag apparently used to be that people wore begadim which were even smaller than that, as some sort of zecher, the way Daniel talks about it. That is already problematic.
Like a little.
Right, and that's why the Maran Mintz said. He said, so maybe there's some value, because it'll teach them to wear it, to make bracha, something like that. But obviously, if you make it kashir, and the kashir, the assumption of the Rishonim and the Acharonim at this point is the size that a child would wear, so then it's fine. And you're chayv midoraisa.
That would be like the same thing that in the last...
And why, oh, by the way, why does everyone... And just to clarify, why does everyone think that that's the shir?
That what?
Of what a child would wear, not what an adult would wear.
Because a child is a person.
No, because that's what the Gemara says. Don't overthink this. That's what the Gemara says. So don't give me this, it doesn't have to cover the erva of a gadol. No.
Why
would you think that? The Gemara doesn't say that. The Gemara. This is a Gemara. The Gemara is in the Gemara. I didn't put it for you.
What's it called? It's just for the memory of it. So people used to wear like a really small one there, possibly. That's kind of like what Rabbi Benyamin said. Right. Like that, since the mitzvah is...
Yeah, but that's super problematic. We said it was super problematic also.
Yeah, like it's the same...
Yeah, but it's super problematic.
Yeah.
Okay. So now I'll run through it. So the Magen Avraham says... No, the tour says it's 9, maybe because of chinuch, who knows? Now, the Magen Avraham notes that the Ramah seems to hold like the Ram Chaviv, which is that he needs both. He needs that a child would wear it consistently, and an adult would not be embarrassed to wear it outside on a one-off. As we've seen, and therefore he says in the last line, he says, he said, the Ramah, possibly Maram Chaviv, so you would say that if you actually need both factors, and again, lumjishly, why would you need both factors? Because you'd say, maybe the katan wearing it defines it as a beged, but you need more. It needs one that, for an adult, functions as a beged, functions as a kisui, so it functions to remove shame. So therefore, the Magen Avraham says, you should be machmir, that'd be the type of thing that you wouldn't be embarrassed if you went out once in a while. Now,
you can easily say it's either or.
It's not either or. The ikar, the Gemara class, is clearly the katan. Now, I'm pretty sure I put Akhar on this, but let me make one.
The gadol, like a...
Let me make a point, okay? The Akhorim make the point, and I think this is obvious, and this is what's going to negate it. The position that is basically rejected lahalacha, which is that a talis katan is not really chayav, because you need something which wraps you, and you need some... Or if you wanted to come differently, you need a piece of clothing that you would wear outside and it would cover you and it would cover down to the part of your body that you'd be embarrassed to be uncovered. Yeah? What's the problem with that position? What is the logical? Why is it that that is rejected lahalacha? Yes, there are people that say it, but I want to show you why this is the minority position nidches by 90% of poskim, and the poskim yell and scream about it.
The Gemara doesn't say that.
First of all, the Gemara doesn't say it, but also conceptually, there's a very simple, logical reason why you would reject this, and that is, you also wouldn't go outside wearing only your shirt and no pants and no boxers. No underwear of any sort. Does that mean your shirt is not clothing? No, of course it's clothing. The fact that a normal person, his attire is made of several pieces of clothing, and that doesn't prove that none of those pieces by themselves are clothing.
Not really.
All that proves, fine. But the point is that what is the shear more likely? This is what the Acharonim get at. What is the shear more likely?
The shear of your shirt.
No, not shear of your shirt per se, but the shear that clothing would...
Whatever place it's taking.
Whatever place it's taking. Yeah. It should be enough to negate the shame that comes from that part of your body, a significant part of your body, being uncovered. Now, a hat is not in that. But a shirt, everyone understands a shirt is a shirt. But a hat, maybe a hat's a specialty item. Okay? You could debate. Is it really clothing?
It's not necessary.
But a shirt, right? No one says, oh, my shirt is not my shirt, unless it's so long on me that if I would go outside without pants...
And that would also be the same thing for something that has holes, let's say. Like, you wouldn't wear it outside if it's, like, see-through.
So we're going to get to this. But again, so Daniel, see, you're making a jump that we haven't made yet. Which is, so far, everybody has been discussing this, so again, in terms of size. But no one has yet introduced the possibility that the Gemara's shear is also about quality. We haven't gone there yet. That's why I want to build this conceptually, point by point. We're not there yet. I want you to understand where this comes from. The Gemara and the Rishonim and the Achronim, I want you to understand it. If it takes me 3 shirim rather than 2, then that's fine. But I want you to understand it. Okay? So if you look at 22, the Birkei Yosef also record this minhag. Nishal amasamchu bataliton ktanim asher yigneda she'im shir. What is this that children do that they wear this talis that isn't even big enough? So shuvato katav zelashana lididi balor chachayim kivein lotzi mide zeh shechashav tishetzarch shir harchev levado kolkach rachav arachav kolkach rachav chen gadab orach morocha kumar shem yachav b'tzarfut lafeif yatov kok katan rasho v'rubo b'derach kisui egov. Said, look, a lot of the clothing that people wear is big enough. It's just that the way people wear them, let's say thrown around their shoulders or something, is not. But it is long enough and wide enough if you did wrap it. But he says, right, you can't just have a long, thin thing, because that's not really going to be wrapped around. He said, in the end of the day, what you really need is something that would cover him, and that means a certain width and a certain length. The go to the Radbaz. Okay. Now, there is this shita, which I don't want to get too much into, is that some of the shita hold it needs to have some sort of wide shoulders, so that it's not batel. Because there is a halacha of asi avira mehaigisa, of asi avira mehaigisa, that the... Okay, let me explain how this comes from. In Erevin, there's a halacha as follows, that if you have... You don't have a mushroom, so forget it. If you have a wall, which is mostly made of air, right, and then you have posts like this, halachically, the whole wall disappears because we consider the air to be mevatel, the minimal space. So there were achronim. Erevin is different from sukkah in certain ways, but I can't get into that sukkah right now. It's very complicated. So there were poskim who said that, and we saw this earlier in the Magen Avraham, that you need not just open the way we have it, but that it needs to go down like here because you don't want the air on the two sides to make it that it doesn't exist. Most poskim reject that, as the Shari Tshuva says, because he says, what are you talking about? By a wall, the reason that you need there not to be so much air is because you're trying to conceptualize this as a wall with holes rather than holes with a wall. Right? Right? Meaning, the argument by Erevin is that we want it to be a wall, maybe it has some spaces in it, but when there's so much air, you don't look and you see a wall, you see a bunch of random posts. That's the conceptual issue. But by clothes, do you look at your tzitzis and say, oh, it's invisible? It's invisible because it doesn't have long enough.
That's only while you're wearing it. You can say that when you're not wearing it, you might not necessarily think that.
I don't think so. If you had clothes like that, you wouldn't look that way. If you were wearing a, you know, if you were actually wearing like a toga which had a hole all the way up to here, right? You still wouldn't look at it.
If you take that toga off,
but
it looks like a sheet.
Fine, except everyone knows it's a toga, because it has... It looks like a toga. Everyone knows what a toga looks like, obviously.
It's like a bed sheet.
No, not really.
That's just like wrapped on you.
I mean, it is, but sure, but they'll...
Is that
not
your
baguette? And then there's this discussion right about hands.
You can use it as a
bag.
Okay.
That was a standard.
I should wear a toga. What scar you guys from?
All right, and this is what the... Okay. The Aruch HaShulchan notes this as well, extensively. Now, he does note that there were some poskim who tried to defend people wearing tzitzis that were not halachically good at all out on Shabbos because, oh, it reminds you or all those things. He said that already seems to be wrong because the Gemara made it very clear on Lamed Zayin and Beis that if you have tzitzis on a beged which is not chayev or you're not mekayim the mitzvah, then tzitzis are a masui and therefore you can't carry them on Shabbos, and therefore he really rejects this and he doesn't think it's right. But he says by talis katan, this is not the right, look at the Sif Hey. Says Lufian is that called Khakir Zubachinam. He said, well, I don't know why people are arguing about this. So Ola Makaim Mitzvah sits about the Lord of Katanim. So people are asking, why can you wear your Talis Katan outside? Aren't you not Makaim the Mitzvah Daraisa of your Talis Katan for all the reasons that Daniel said? And he says, no, what are you talking about? Right? He said, what are you talking about? Lufian said, call Talil Katan Shalano, Ainam Khaiva Jesus. Right? They said, they quote the Shita, or you're not Chayev. He said, Nitchu Divrayim. He said, we reject this lahalacha. Umanatara kol beget, shal arba kanfa, chenos el gufe, chayev betzitzis. Any clothes, look at the Rambam, look at the Gemara, look at the Rambam, look at the Torah, look at the Ruka Yosef, look at all the Rishonim we paskin like. Look at Shulchan Aruch. We paskin that you are Chayev in a Talis Katan. That's all there is to it. Stop coming up with the shitot of the Rama says we're makbid, maybe because of a shita that was raised by the Mordechai that you're not the kaim of the Hadron, which maybe means you're not the kaim at all. He said, what are you people talking about? That's not a wee paskin, right? It's just not. He said, well, you know, you just don't, and that's really his conclusion. Again, I think you look at most of the achronim. This is what they say. Now, how big is this? So, I gave you all the Mishnah Berurah. You can look at it. There is a bit of a machlokas. The Mishnah Berurah summarizes it. I also give you the Piskei Tshuvot, who summarizes it. So if you look for a second, look at Mishnah Berurah Daled, three lines in. He says, how long is this? Okay, we've said it's the amount of a katan, so give me an amount. Savin and Shir Rosh of Arubo Kasav, Vesever Priya, Aret, Vesheim Sefer, Divrei Chaim, Shir Shosha Rive Amma Baorech, Vechatsi Amma Berochav. So one sheet says that it's three quarters of an Amma by half an Amma. The Machitza Shekel says, no, that's not right. The Minog Anshe Maisa, he says, is an Amma in front and an Amma in back with a neck hole. And then he says, the Achronim say, you're definitely okay if it's an Amma Vachetzi.
How could this be such an exact measurement? If it's based on
they're assuming age, they're coming with an amount of what it is. They're guessing.
It can be any way between that. It can't be an exact measurement. It could be anything that fits that category.
Okay, but you got it. They're coming up with an approximate. Okay, what is it? And this is what they say. Now, how much is that? So I gave you in 26 in the Piskei Tshuvot. He gives you all the amounts. Okay, he goes through it according to each shita of the amma, whether it's 3/4 of an amma or an amma or an amma vachetzi, according to all the different shitos. Of it, so if you see it, he says it could be.
That's very small.
So he says it's either 58 centimeters by 58 centimeters, which is 23 inches by 23 inches, or it's 60 by 60. The most makel is 44 wide by 58 long. That's how this plays out. And he gives you the whole thing there. But this depends on how much you think an amma is. I don't want to go through it. But that's why when you go to a store and you'll see, they'll give you shirim anywhere from 2 feet. What is it? They'll go from like 18 inches to like 26 inches, right? Something like that. So 26 inches, I think, is.
So what about when
26 inches is the most machmir amma. Maybe some of them will do more. Maybe an amma nechetzi of a chazan ish. So I don't know. But that's what they're doing, right? Is they're playing this math. Is they're doing 3/4 of an amma, an amma nechetzi. I think most of them do amma. And they don't worry about the amma vechetzi chumra. But they assume amma. And then they say, okay, Moshe says an amma is this many inches. And so you'll see that they'll tell you there's 24 inches, there's 22 inches, there's 26 inches. That's what they're doing, right? They are playing out this math. Okay.
So once you have titzis of at least that size, titzis now has some sort of level of kedusha.
No, it's chayev. It's not about kedusha. It's chayev.
Meaning you have the ability to make a bracha on it.
Yes. Yes.
So even if like your 3-year-old wears it.
Yes. No, not your 3-year-old. That's the katan that we talked about.
No, but like people put titzis on their 3-year-old.
Correct, and that's a big question because that is not the right child.
But.
That's
so you're saying best. You're not allowed to if they're not.
So we'll get.
According to that, then they can't wear it till the bar mitzvah.
Good. So that's an interesting question. Well, I did put sources on it, so hold that thought for a minute. Again, the Bar Halacha goes through this as well. Right, he doesn't like the subject of shir as well, which is why he gives his numbers. Okay. Let's look at 27. Let's look at Rav Avadya. He's going to give you a nice little summary, and then we'll move on at this point, okay? Mal Ashir Shatalit Katan Shashar Yiyeh Lefarech Alav Al Mitzvah Tzitzit. He says, V'ine, what is the amount? So he says, V'ine Shut Pri Ha'aretz Katav Shashir Shatalit Shachayam Tzitzit B'minda U'sharko Amma V'rachbo Amma. An Amma by Amma, that's one Shita. Am Nama Machta Sheka Katav Shima Sheka Katav Atzon Kodshim Davar Zashanim Machloket. According to Rashi, it's Amma. An Amma on Uke Yosef. It's not just an amma nama. Shut Nech Bekesef says that he took a child and he measured it and he needed an amma nechetzi. But he says the sefer achinuch mavur should start with a rosho verov kufa. Right, this is the shita that we've been talking about. That we said is mostly rejected, right? But the chinuch does hold it that he says it needs to be something that wraps rosho verubo, most of his body. V'siyim asidin sayon v'veit lefnei katan v'nei shanim. Sorry, no, this is not the. No, I take back what I just said. It says he measured a child. He said a child, he covered him and took an amma and a half by an amma and a half. The Arzad Achaim, but he said many Achronim reject this because they think you don't need the head, and without the head, it's more of an Amma, more like an Amma by an Amma. I'll be the very Ruchum, but the Chazon Ish Kadav Shein Lashonam Shabin Ruchum, Achino Chachra, Yotim Lashon Gemara, Vashabi Yesh Lomash Rosh Bechlal, Rov Gufo. But the Chazon Ish says maybe when the Gemara says Rov of your body, it does mean your head. Velochein die, Vishloshit Rive Amal Lofonav, Achin Shabazar Acharav, Shabayachad, Him Chatzi, Amal Rochav Amal. He said if you need Amma and a half total, so that would only mean 3/4 of an Amma by 3/4 of an Amma. The Amna Mesidr. Besider Agoder Shneir Zalman Balatanya Shorach Talit Katan Shechliot Shtei Amot Chutz Benekev Shavet Atzavar. The Balatanya thinks you need 2 amot, which is 1 amma plus 1 amma. Achloach Achid. And now he says, and this is probably why Rishul David told you what he did, because who was the one posek who may have held? It's not clear he held this way because it's very unclear in the Mizra that even though the majority of Rishonim and Achronim reject the Shita. But that lahalacha, we actually need something that can cover you. Who was the one achron in this? The Gra.
Ah.
Right, and this is going to be why Rishmol Dov is going to tell you that. He says, look at the last line. Achlokachet, I can't deny. Shigam agon Rabbi Yehu Mivilna, so v'lach mir v'shir talakotan. He was machmir. Shitzarech shiagia ad habir kayin. That it needs to reach the knees. Now, the reason I said no one can tell the position is because even the Gra, somebody said, right? If you're going to go with the Gra, you got to go all out. So that he said the knees, right? Not
maybe he just didn't want to be explicit.
No, because then we would say no. The assumption is because in halacha, the entire thigh until the knee is still considered part of that area of the body.
Really?
If you take it, then you got to take it out ourself. Lav einu mekayim mitzvat tzitzit kemoshe katav bishmo b'shilto b'sof sefer ma'aser rav gam chazanish siyem shel ma'aser tzarich liot orech atal shtei amot arochom ama. And he said, this is the Chumrah, and this is why we yotze the entire thing with our talis. But he said, for talis katan, really, we rely on everybody else. No, Saflakal Anal. He named Matzino Lagon Rabbi Avram David Mibuchach.
Your talis katan has to be this size?
No, talis katan is even bigger.
Meaning to the knee.
This is what he says for talis katan. The Gra was machmir. Again, does this emerge from the Rishonim?
No,
it doesn't. Right? This is really a very fantastic read of the. Right? It's a very hard read in the Rishonim. You could read in the Gemara if you wanted to, right? If you wanted to read in the Gemara, you could. But Rav Rishonim don't read it this way, right? Clearly, a child, the thing that even if it goes down to your 9-year-old's toes, which it doesn't have to. The Gemara says Rosh Rubo.
Maybe because for
it's not going to go down to your knees, right? If it covers the majority of a 9-year-old's body, it's not covering.
But maybe the point
majority
is,
of an adult's
maybe
body.
Maybe the point is that it grows with you. Meaning at the time when that
no, the Gemara is saying for an adult. No, the Gemara is saying for an adult. No, the Gemara says for an adult. The Gemara says for an adult. An adult is chayev with the clothing that a child would wear. It's the Gemara. No one denies this except for maybe the Gra.
Right, so
but we don't even have any written evidence of the Gra.
Meaning, if worst case scenario, when he has to, all right, it counts. A best case scenario is that since, well, for a child when he first, whatever.
So maybe that's what so I said. Maybe with the Mordechai
should cover the adult knees also. But worst case scenario, if you don't have anything, then you could use a smaller.
Could so that could be what the Mogen Avraham, the Mordechai meant that you're not Mekayim Mitzvah and I'm moving far. But there's no shit in Mekayim Mitzvah at all. Right? Again, it's raised every so often. It's raised by the Mordechai. The Ramah brings it up and says, maybe that's why we're machmir, but make our din. We don't pass in that way. The Rov Rishonim don't accept it. Shulchan Aruch doesn't accept it. The Nosei Kalim don't accept it. And the Nosei Kalim will say, you're chayv in tzitzis, and you can wear it on Shabbos. Right? So yes, there is this chumrah that's brought from the Gra. Right? But again, it's very difficult to say that this is true, because the majority view is that what we need here is something which is objectively a beged, whether or not it would cover you. Right? Now, it would cover you. Again, there is this other tradition from the Gra, which again, the problem with the Gra is if it's written down, so maybe we have some evidence. This is one of those from Ma'aser Rav, which is his students are recalling what the Gra said, what the Gra did. We don't necessarily know why he did it. So it's not always clear, but there is such a tradition.
And you have like your tzitzit string dragging on the floor, and like they're super dirty.
We haven't done that yet. We haven't done bizon yet. No, saflakol anali neimatzino lagon rabbi Avram David mibuchach b'seizer evil Avram mudara tinyana shekatav shebizman hazeh in levarach atel katana filim yesh bo shiram avur beposkim mishum shebizmaneinu gadol mitbayesh latzeit bo b'chach. Now there is a middle way of explaining the Gra. And this is what Rav Buchach says, not in the Gra, but maybe this is how you would say it. And they would go as follows. Maybe in the time of the Gemara, people really weren't embarrassed to go out Be'akrai with clothing that short. But maybe if you think this really is a subjective shear, then in the time of the Gemara and the Rishonim, maybe what they're saying is, in our time, an adult would go out on an irregular basis with clothing that a 9-year-old would wear. And what makes it clothing is that an adult really would do that. But if you lived in a world, right, this would go in the direction of Ram Chaviv, that say that really the gadol wearing it is an essential part of defining this as an adult thing. But then you have to make another step, which is, when the Gemara said that you didn't need something that would cover a whole gadol, that's because people realistically, for whatever reason, they only had one pair of clothing, and therefore, you know what, there were more extenuating circumstances, so people sometimes went outside, come up with whatever you want. But in a world in which people would not go outside, even back cry, with something that a 9-year-old could cover most of his body with, then the fact that nobody would go out that way makes it that nowadays, the fact that a child would wear it is not enough to make this within adult clothing. And again, is this against Rov Rishonim? I still think this is not the simple pshat in the Rishonim. Rov Rishonim said the reason you need a katan is not because you're trying to figure out what is considered adult clothing. It's because you're trying to figure out what is considered clothing. But if you want to go in the Ram Chaviv direction, which is that what an adult wears is actually important, so then you could come to the Mordechai-esque position, the Gra-esque position, and Rav Buchach, which is either simply you really need something an adult would go out with, or in a world in which an adult would not wear, even under extenuating circumstances, that which a kid would wear. So that makes it that nowadays that's not considered clothing societally, and therefore not in the time of the Gemara. Right? This is, I think, a better way of defending it if you wanted to defend it, which is not to say this is what the Gemara meant, but to say that in a world which is so societally different than the Gemara, in order for something to be defined as clothing by itself, it would need to reach your knees or something like that, which is what
today would be the opposite.
But that's what you would have to say. But Rav Avadya says this is. It could be, again, this is how I would justify a Gra's position, or Rav Buchach. But as Rav Avadya notes, and I tend to agree with him, which is, at first glance, this is really shocking. The Gemara is very clear that if a child would wear it and an adult wouldn't, is it still a beged? Yes. Right? The Gemara said that that's just to help you understand it, but the real rule is, what is a beged? Kluger said the same thing, obviously. He said, he quotes the Rav Shlomo Kluger we saw, and he says, the reason that you wouldn't go out with that clothing is not because you don't think it's clothes, it's because that's not how we wear clothes. And the way many of the other Achronim put it, and I don't think I put it, was as I said it before. The reason you wouldn't just wear a shirt outside is not because you deny that it's a baguette. It's because the way we get dressed is we wear shirts and pants. Right? But that doesn't prove that it's not a baguette. Right? The majority view, as Rav Avadya knows, is that the issue here is what is counts as a baguette. Right? Or maybe an adult baguette or something like that. But not what would an adult actually wear by itself in public. To say that, you either need to be influenced by the bracha and say, you're not chayev to wear tzitzis midaraisa on something that you wear, but only on something you're mitatef with, or go somewhere in the, right, mitatef with, or go in the Rav Buchach direction and say that you actually need something you wear by itself in public, and maybe things were different at the time of the Gemara. And that's if you could defend a gra-like position. But again, and this is probably why Rav Shmuel David told you what he did, but the simple pshat, lehalacha, is that this has been rejected by almost all the Rishonim, almost all the Achronim, right? And the Gra's position is an outlier here. Again, does that mean maybe you want to be machmir and only say the bracha on your talis gadol? Fine. But to say that you're not mekayim the mitzvah unless your talis katan goes down to here, who wears a talis katan out here? One second, who wears it until here? Right? I don't think, again, as much as I respect the fact that sometimes people are going to be machmir like the Gra, right? This really is one of those cases where he's really, really, really an outlier. Even the Mishnah Berurah, who often follows the Gra, even when he's against other achronim, doesn't go in that direction. He takes the position, you are chayav in these. Yeah.
Maybe you can say what he meant was not beged, but that the end of the strings should reach your knees. So that would mean that...
I don't think so. I mean, you can ask him, but I don't think that's very odd. I mean, that's very odd. We're talking about the beged here.
That'd be easier to understand, though, because then the beged doesn't actually have to be till your knee, but it's that...
I don't know. Now, I'll tell you, in 28, so the Mishnah Halacha said that he heard from Moshe Feinstein, that Moshe Feinstein said he just denied the Gravar said this. He just said, I don't know, I've never heard of such a thing. Right? The Ramosha was so convinced that this didn't exist that he's like, I don't know what all these books claiming the Gra said it are. They're just not Bar Samcha, forget it. Now, the Mishnah Halachot himself says Ramosha is wrong within the Gra because it's attested to in a bunch of different sources about the Gra. But I just want you to understand, Ramosha Feinstein was so convinced that this goes against the Gemara that not only did he say the Gra is wrong, he just said, I don't believe that the Gra ever said such a thing. Right? And the Mishnah Halacha, what's his response? The Gra said it, but he's wrong. So here you have a machlokes. Did the Gra never say it because this is so out of the mainstream, it doesn't make sense, it goes against the simple reading of the Gemara and Rishonim? Or he said it, but look, okay, you can't deny he said it, but that doesn't mean it's Halacha L'maitza.
Point being is wrong.
The point being, no, I wouldn't say he's wrong. The point being is that if someone's going to come, because you'll hear sometimes people get very firm, they'll learn the sugya, they'll hear it at the Gra, and then they'll say, oh, I don't wear a talis gut. Why am I so angry about this? Because sometimes, if someone said, I want to be makbid like the Gra, so I always want to make sure that I only make my brach on the talis, which is what the Ramah says anyways, fine. But for some people, what if they get the feeling? Ugh. Wearing a talis katan, that's a fake mitzvah. It's not such a big deal. Why would I wear a talis katan? You're not letting the kind of mitzvah with that. It's only really the talis. It's not so important to wear a talis. You're not to wear tzitzis. You're not being the kind of mitzvah. But what do all the achronim say? And all the rishonim? It is wrong. You are the kind of mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to araisa.
So at what point?
So why wouldn't you do it? Because the Gra, yes, the Gra is a great person. He is. And maybe he said it, though admittedly we don't have it in his writing, we only have it in traditions from his students. So, and Ramosha was so shocked by this that he just said, not only did the Gra not, is the Gra wrong, he just said the Gra never said it.
So at what point does a Talis Katan become a Talis Gadol? What is practically the difference? Meaning, if it really is already a Talis Gadol.
Fine, but really have, no one wears tzitzit like that because you can't wear it like that.
Unless, what actually is the difference?
Like, but who wears a talis like? Who wears a tzitzis like that? That goes down to your knees.
So what if he's talking about a talis gadol? It has to be like that.
No, because there's no halachic significance to that. The question is, what beged is chayav?
I thought we said earlier.
No, we said that
talis gadol should be that low.
No, we said that the Ramah says that maybe we should be machmir like that Mordechai and make the bracha on the talis gadol because maybe you're not mekayim the mitzvah unless you're misatev and therefore maybe your talis katan is not the real mitzvah. But everyone said that's at best a chumran ikra din. That's not what we really paskin. And halachically, there's no difference between your talis gadol and your talis katan. As soon as it hits the level of chiyuv, you're chayav midoraisa. And therefore they reject this and there is no difference. There's no halos. Talis gadol versus talis katan. There's a halos of beged that's chayav, beged that's not chayav. All these things are like chumras to be machmir when we see the bracha. But my problem is that if you don't show it for what it is, which is maybe a position of buchach and a mesorah that was passed on about the Gra that was so shocking that Ramosha Feinstein thought it couldn't possibly even exist. And the other post can say maybe it exists but it's not halacha, and therefore you definitely are mekayim the mitzvah with your tzitzis. And they respond to the Gra-esque argument by saying, look, just because we wear clothes nowadays which are not togas, and therefore you wouldn't go outside with your talis alone, doesn't make it any less of a beged. And the majority view when we showed him, and the simple reading of the Gemara is that the issue here is to define it as a beged. That's what you want to do.
So can't we just not actually wear a talis because a talis katan is the same thing as a talis gadol, really?
What?
Like, what? If there's practically no difference, right? Why do we wear both?
Good. The difference is, there is a difference, but the difference is not local to the mitzvah of tzitzit, it's about tefillah. Right? A lot of the discussion in talis, and we'll come back to the bracha, isn't about tzitzit. Like, is this chayav in tzitzit? It's if during davening we're wearing a talis and you need atifa, for midin tefila. In that sense, talis gadol and talis katan are talis gadol and talis katan are different. But that's not my issue right now.
That's if you're holding like the Rambam.
No, that's no. The Rambam doesn't hold that way. Oh, for atifa. For atifa.
If you're holding like the Tor, then you don't. You could use a talis katan for davening because the Tor doesn't break down atifa. Shulchan Aruch, the Rambam and the Tor don't.
We'll come back to Atifa. We're not going to get into that today. Now he notes, and this is something we've seen, that Tzitzel Yezer in 29 notes that there was that this minhag, that there were some people who wore talis katan that wasn't even this big. This was apparently a minhag in Yerushalayim as well. And Bezach Frank said, yeah, maybe there's legitimacy to this. Why? I don't know. I really don't know. I don't know exactly what it was. I don't know. Okay. The interesting thing, I'm going to throw out two more points, and we'll have to do one more day on this, because we haven't gotten to the quality, but that's actually pretty complicated, because that's back to like classical sources. You're going to have to do a Mishnah and Kalim, and so we'll do one more day on this, and that's and then we'll do, and then by tomorrow we'll finish with Mechitzis, because we'll have gotten from here, right, so far we've done size, but the next two things you have to do is quality, and how do you wear it, so just do from 32 and on. Okay, two questions, so skip to 30. And the last questions I would want to do as follows is the obvious question that Daniel already asked is, wait a second, don't we put tzitzis on like 6-year-olds and we have them make a bracha? Isn't that a problem? Because
I don't know, do we make them make a bracha?
Yeah, we have little kids.
We could just put them on to teach them that you should be okay with wearing tzitzis.
I know, but we do. The other thing we do, is that wrong? I think is that wrong? Because what would the argument to say that it's wrong be? What would the argument say it's wrong?
They're not five in the midst.
No. Is that this is not chepta shel mitzvah? Those are different. Of course, they're not chayav; they're ketanim. Right. But if we put on a tzitzis that's big enough for a 3-year-old, is it a chepta shel beged that chayav in tzitzis?
No.
No, because it has to be big enough. Let's say a 9-year-old would wear it. So if it's big enough for your 3-year-old to wear it, then how can he make a bracha? Isn't this so? I gave you from the Shevet Alevi. Someone asked him, "Is this wrong? Can we not tell kids who are under 9?" To make a bracha, or 7, whatever age you want to pick it at, whatever Rambam tour, whatever, can you not tell a 5-year-old to make a bracha on the tzitzis because the beged you're giving him is too small to be chayv in tzitzis at all? So he notes that first of all, there's a very interesting machlokas in general about whether, I'm just going to say it outside, whether the mitzvah of chinuch is merely educational or educational in the maisa mitzvah, meaning. When you, and this is in Machlokas HaPoskim. So for example, if I'm giving a child an esrog, can I give him an esrog that's pasul because it'll educate him? I mean, chinuch is just future oriented, or is the mitzvah of chinuch to have my child do the maisa mitzvah while he's a katan to prepare him? So now you could say, well, if the esrog is missing a piece, so then it won't educate him because he'll think when he gets older that he can have an esrog that's missing a piece. But the post can say, okay, but what if it's a borrowed esrog and the kid doesn't know?
Yes.
So the chefta is the same. He looks at it and thinks he's being mechayim. So if you think that chinuch is just getting ready for adulthood, so can he use a borrowed esrog? Yes. But if you think the nature of the mitzvah of chinuch is to do the maisa mitzvah as a katan, so then can he use a borrowed esrog?
No.
So he says, maybe this depends on that. Because if you think chinuch is get him in the mode of mitzvot, so then the beged is too small, but so what? If you think he has to do the maitza mitzvah, so then
you can't make a bracha.
So maybe you couldn't make the bracha.
I think there's a difference between doing the mitzvah and then saying a bracha.
So
yeah, like, do you still do the mitzvah by not saying the bracha?
So, okay, like, one second.
Is the bracha ma'ak of the mitzvah?
No, so you could have said you'll do it without the bracha. So the Rebbe says something, maybe the reason you do it is because you're training the kids in brachos, that's why you do it. And that's legitimate. I have a better svara, no offense. But I think there's a simpler reason why we think that you can make a bracha, why we can teach a 3-year-old to make a bracha on his tzitzis. I think the answer is simple. For an adult, I mean, because what's really the halacha? You have to make a tzitzis on a beged. Now, in a chanami, for an adult, how do we define a beged? That which a 9-year-old or a 7-year-old kid would wear. But for the three-year-old, right, does the three-year-old consider his shirt, and his pants his pants? Yes. So he relates to it as a beged, and therefore, yes, this is not a chetzer shel mitzvah of a gadol, but if the real shear is give him a beged, you could say that tzitzis is different, because for the kid, this is a beged. It may not be a beged a gadol would be chayvin, but if you're training the kid to wear tzitzis on begadim, from the vantage point of the kid, this is a beged. That's why I think that it's not a problem, and why the minhag ha'olam is to, you know, once kids are like three, to put on mini tzitzis and have them make a bracha. Again, could it be what Rav Azar is saying, that we just trained him in bracha? Maybe. But I think, to defend the minhag ha'olam...
You could say the same thing, that if you have this four-quarter thing that just has some... Yeah,
correct, but
fringes.
No, so that's the difference. Because here I'm not saying change the tzitzis at all. The tzitzis have to be halachic.
But
right?
But the kid would relate to it as tzitzis.
You know, Hanami, but I think tzitzis. No, but I don't mean in his head he relates to it. I mean that from his subjective vantage point, this is a beged, and the real halach of tzitzis is that any beged is chayv in tzitzis. So the fact that a gadol wouldn't wear this doesn't change the reality that this is an actual beged from the vantage point of the katan, and therefore you put tzitzis on it. Right, and that's what I would suggest. I'm not 100% sure, right?
For it to let him wear it, don't say bracha till you're 9, and then make him say bracha.
Okay,
you're
I'm defending
him.
Fine, but that was what the guy asked Rav Azar. Right? That was what the guy was asking him: is why don't you just not make him your bracha till he's 7? Then at least according to Rambam,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Or whatever. You know, Chanan, you could have come with that conclusion. If someone came to me and said, "I really think this is wrong. A katan shouldn't make bracha on tzitzis," I would say, "I understand what you're saying. Maybe you're right. Elomai, I want to defend the minhag ha'olam." So Rav Azar's way of defending the minhag of the world is to say, you're educating in bracha. My way is to say, okay, maybe, or maybe, maybe this is different, because it's not, the beged isn't the maisa mitzvah, that isn't the chetzer shel mitzvah, the beged is a chetzer shel beged. Right? You're trying to find it as a beged. And therefore, to educate a child that when you have a beged, which from your subjective vantage point, this is a beged, you put tzitzis, I think the nature of the mitzvah of tzitzis might lend itself to a...
Is it a bracha levatala if that child doesn't even have the das, or like the ability to make a bracha, or like make it count for anything? Like, how is it in bracha levatala? If like he doesn't even understand what he's doing? How would that be a problem? How is it a bracha levatala if the kid doesn't even have like the...
Maybe you should be educating him in it. Right, meaning he's not going to violate Navera, but maybe you shouldn't be educating him. Okay, let's stop there. That's what I have to say on this. What we're going to do, we have two more questions to do, so it'll take us one more day, which is, okay, we've talked about size, but now does this extend to quality? And as we'll see, one reason you would say that mesh isn't chayiv is because of this sugya, but it's also possible for completely other reasons that a beged with holes in it just doesn't count. Not because of this, but because... other things, that's what we're going to see, and then also the way of wearing it, and we'll see that, okay? If you finish these sources, so starting the Gemara, continuing in Daf Mem, the order of the Gemara now is Kilayim Betzitzis. There's a question of Chovas Gavra and Chovas Talis, right? Is the mitzvah really on the clothing, or is it on the person? There's the Bracha on Daf Mem Beis, which gets into the question of Atifa. Unless you Dafka want to do Atifa next, and then we could skip and do Atifa and come back. But we'll think about it.